Lawrence, the movie that they're going to be making, tell me exactly how they're going to position the film.
It's rather an odd one, this, isn't it, George, if you think about it, because movies generally emanate from novels, from fictional stories, or even from biographies, life stories, life adventures, that sort of thing.
Precisely.
But, you know, this one has come about from a non-fiction book, a textbook, albeit. What actually happened, I have to say that you can take some of the credit for this, in fact, a good deal of it, because it was your interview that I did back in March that led to the contact. And it was within hours, really, of speaking to you on that occasion that I got a call from Candance Ghosh, who is the president of Living Element Pictures out there in Los Angeles. And subsequent to that, you know, we discussed the idea of a movie based on this book. So in essence, what we have is a story. It's really a sci-fi type adventure thriller.
Okay.
It'll be based on the book, but clearly it can't be the story of the book, because it takes a different aspect, and it has to, for all entertainment purposes and whatever, embody a fictional element of some sort. But I suppose, you know, the best way to explain it is to say that the story is embodied in the book. The powers of the Ark of the Covenant, the extraordinary qualities of monatomic elements and white powder gold, that sort of thing will be embodied in it. So that's the scientific element, and then what we have sort of embodying that and the links with past history is a very modern and very up-to-date story that takes place in Los Angeles right now.
I guess you couldn't tell us the ending, could you?
Well, the ending, I can't actually, because the ending at the moment is currently a little matter of debate. There's a lot of ways you can go with films of this sort. And in essence, it's a little bit like the book. You know, I'm talking today about my hypothesis at the end of the book about where the Ark was, but I was a little reluctant to talk about that back in March because, you know, my publishers didn't want me divulging the last chapter. So
right, I understand.
But now, of course, lots of people have read it. And it's much the same with the film. You know, it's talking about the end of the film and the way that it explodes towards its climax at the end is something really not best described, and in fact would spoil the film for those that watch it when it comes.
What type of actors or actresses would be in the film, if you could just give me an idea who you think you'd like?
Well, we don't know names yet. I mean, this thing has happened very, very quickly.
Is it?
The screenplay has been written now. Candance Ghosh has written the screenplay. I've played my part in sort of helping with that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm coming over to Los Angeles in a week's time. I'll actually be over there doing various events and things from the 4th to the 9th of December.
Well, do call me when you're in town, okay?
Sorry?
Call me when you're in town.
Oh, sure, yeah. Yeah, I'll do that gladly. But during that time, we'll be discussing casting and that sort of thing. And casting is actually imminent now. It's very, very close. The movie was announced in the Hollywood Reporter a couple of weeks ago, and so it's now in a position where you know the actors, actresses, and whatever know about it. We've had some approaches, I believe. With a bit of luck, we should actually be shooting in the spring. So you know, within a year from the concepts being raised, we should actually be in a filming situation, which is very, very fast. In movie land, and very exciting.
Well, and that helps get the message out too. It really does.
Oh, it does. I mean, look, for example, what has happened with you know, Dan Brown's Da Vinci Code, the novel, which has
mm-hmm.
been around for this last year or so. I mean, really, it's taken subject matter that I and various other people have been writing about for a number of years. But what's happened is that moving it into a fictional market has really widened the scope of its audience tremendously. And on that basis, of course, I mean, the sales of my books have really taken another great leap. You know, books like Bloodline of the Holy Grail, which was a 1996 release originally, has been selling as well during this past year just as a result of the Da Vinci Code by Dan Brown, as it sold back in 1996-97 in its first year, when it was a number one bestseller, etc. So everything has its spin-offs and its implications, and one can see that the market, much like the television watching market, you know, there are the documentary watchers and there are the pure entertainment watchers. And my books, I suppose, fall into a sort of documentary category, even though they might be, you know, a little entertaining in their own way. But once one moves entertainment into that, once one certainly brings in the big screen, and you know, there's no doubt that even as an author, I have to concede and admit that we live in a very visual age right now.
Mm-hmm.
There is no bigger or better way than getting messages across to people, whether it's the big screen or the small screen, and so everything spins off from there. I mean, the one thing about the way that this is going with the film is that you know, I really don't want to get into arguments and debates about what aspects of the film are fact and what are fiction, because its magic will be in the fact that we don't know. Simply that it embodies these elements, and if people then need to know what the factual elements are, then of course there's the Lost Secrets of the Sacred Art book to go back to. In terms of filmic quality, it wasn't really until I started to see the way that the screenplay was coming together that I could really perceive how filmic this story is. And you know, the special effects potential is quite extraordinary in a story of this sort.
Is it done in modern times or ancient times?
It's set in modern times. It's a story which in a way runs through a little bit of a chronological pattern, because we have to set the scenes for it with some of the ancient material and the biblical material. But the advantage that we have here is that, you know, given that the Lost Secrets book and very much of what I've been writing about over past months and talking about is to do with things like time warps and space-time manipulation, that sort of thing, it actually enables us to view the film in a slightly different way, because we don't have to use the conventional sort of flashback technique. We can actually embody this sort of time-warping movement within it. So that in effect we can be in all places at all times. It doesn't really matter, you know, as Einstein said, yesterday, today, tomorrow, it's all one really. Everything is in the current now. And even scientists, the most frontline of scientists, are now really going with this sort of concept, as if we're really in some sort of major time loop that is just swinging around all the time. So that again, it, you know, makes it very exciting for screen portrayal.